podcasting to you from Cyber City Comics. You are now listening to the Cave of Solitude. Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Eric Anthony, and once again, joining me is the Cave of Solitude's newest co-host. Stand up and state your name.
Hey, it's Jazz again from our last podcast.
We liked the last podcast so much, we geeked out so hard that we said, let's bring him on back and make him a semi-regular host. So now Daff J's got some competition vying for her top spot. No, just kidding. Everybody likes Daff J. We're not going to kick her off the show yet, and she won't let that happen because she's got enough pull in the family that won't happen. So, Jazz, what's going on? Welcome back to the show. Did you listen to the last podcast?
Yeah, I listened to the last podcast. That was really long.
It was our longest on record.
Yeah.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah.
Did your buddies have a good time?
Yeah.
Okay.
My brothers that were here, they're just like, oh, I wish we said more rather than just like what we did. And I was like, it was partially my fault too. It was kind of like throwing me in the low spot.
You know what's hard is that you got to, when the mic is turned on, you got to just talk like you're regularly talking in the coffee shop. Sometimes, like, me and my wife will be talking about stuff. She's like, we should be saving this for a podcast. Why are we wasting on a regular conversation? But when the red light's on, you feel like, oh, I got to put on some type of a performance, and people get, like, a little bit of stage fright.
Yeah.
No one's listening. That's what you got to think about.
Yeah.
So just, you got to go, if you're in a comic shop, just shooting the breeze, right?
Yeah.
So what's new and exciting this week at Cyber City Comics? A lot of stuff.
A lot of rebirths.
What do you think of Rebirth? I didn't ask you about that last time we recorded, because I think that could be a whole episode in itself.
Without going off on Rebirth?
Spoil it. I'm just going to say it from now. Anything we talk about today is going to be spoilers if we've read it. So be forewarned if you don't want to be ruined, like any comics that have come out. But go ahead. Like, give me your take on it. What do you think?
The Rebirth one-shot, the initial Rebirth one-shot, really, really good. There are some titles, before I go on to continue about DC Rebirth, there's some titles that are like, I don't know, I'd like to see a little bit more of it. Like Batman. It was kind of just like, what, there's Gotham and Gotham Girl? Like, they're just Superman and Supergirl of Gotham? It's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read Nightwing yet.
That came out this week.
I know. I'll probably pick it up over the weekend and read it.
I was waiting to hear from your, like, you were the one guy who I wanted to get your opinion.
I flipped through it on Tuesday, and I, like, briefly read it, and I was like, this is good. Because it's just Dick and Damien all the way through, until near the end, where you see him in the cave with Bruce and Damien. They're talking about, like, oh, what should you do now that you're not working for Spiral? And it's like, well, maybe I should just go back and be Nightwing. Yes! Oh my god! Now that blue.
Yeah, he's got the black and blue back on. I mean, what was cool about, like, you probably know this, but a lot of people think Nightwing, like the name, they actually talk about where he was inspired to become Nightwing, like take that name from. When you first read, like, Nightwing, did you think he was just a play on words of, like, being Batman's apprentice? Like, that's.
Oh, no. It was like. Where was it that I read it? Can't remember where I read it.
Was it? It might have been in the Teen Titans.
Yeah.
When he actually shows up in the disco suit.
Yeah. And Superman was the one that inspired him to become someone else. Like, someone that he should be entirely different from Batman.
Yeah.
Which is why his suit, it was, before the New 52, was blue and black. Everybody was either black and gray or black and red.
Yeah.
If you notice that. Tim's suit was black and red. Bruce's suit was black and gray. Jason Todd's suit was black and red, right? It was just a mixture of just black and red, right? Even Kate.
Or red and green and yellow.
Yeah, or red and green and yellow. But who's the only one in that entire family that had blue and that would stand out from everybody else? Dick. And I was just like, that's what makes him Nightwing. It's just like, he differentiates from everybody else because he's so different.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so similar at the same time.
I think you'll like it. The art's good. Yannick Paquette does the
art. Yeah, it's good.
And like, the same writer from Grayson's continue, like
one of the writers.
One of the writers,
Those two guys, like, both of those guys that were writing him, they love, like, that entire, like, from the 80s until now. It's whatever happened to Dick Grayson within then, they're just like, yes, this is all perfect.
You don't realize, too, like, because Dick Grayson is always a a younger guy portrayed in the books, like the younger guy or like a son, surrogate son of Batman. He's one of the top three or top four oldest superhero characters.
Yeah. No, top three, yeah.
Top
yeah,
three, right.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, he's before three. Wonder Woman?
I think so, yeah.
I think Wonder Woman was 40 because it was Superman 38, Batman and Robin were 39,
yeah.
And then Wonder Woman would have been 1940.
Yeah. So yeah, that sounds right.
When you think of Robin or Dick Grayson as a character, has been around for
75 years.
As long as Batman has. Like, he's got a rich history. It's just, I guess you get lost in the shadow of being Robin.
Yeah.
But Nightwing, it's almost four, not yet, but close to closing in on 35 years that he's been Nightwing, right?
Is it 35 years? Because it was 80...
It was before Crisis on Infinite Earths. He was already Nightwing.
Yeah.
In that era of Teen Titans, right? So maybe 83, 84.
Yeah.
Crisis was 86.
Yeah, it was probably 83 or 84 then.
So he's been Dick Grayson for like 33 years. I mean,
yeah.
Nightwing for 33 years. Yeah. Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a good book. I'm looking forward. You know what I like about Rebirth so far? I haven't read everything because I'm going to wait and see like what stands the test of time as regards to story quality. But I kind of like the double shipping. I didn't think I would. I thought I would hate it.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I was just like, oh man, like that means I have to spend more money. But it's like, you know what?
There's
quite a lot of books that are actually really, really good.
And you're getting more bang for your buck, right? Instead
of
spending $4 for 20... Was it $3.99? Almost $5 Canadian for 21 pages.
Yeah.
You're getting 40 pages for $6.
Which is not bad.
42 pages for $6, which is pretty good, right? And your attention is being kept with what's happening with the characters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is... So when I would read Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo, Batman before, by the time the next issue came out...
You didn't even know what was going on.
And because the storytelling's so dense...
There's a lot of monologuing, there's a lot of dialogue in that book, and like now that they've like broken it up so it's like they've eased out with all the monologuing and dialoguing, it's not as bad. You can still stick around and like say, okay, I remember what happened in the last issue.
Yeah.
Now that it's going to be shipping 2 weeks, but there are books that are going to only be shipping once a month, which... might be a problem, but...
Depending on the title, though, right?
Yeah.
Because there's some stuff that, okay, this, too, is going to be twice a month. How long is that going to last for? Because I found the problem I had with some stuff from DC before, and this was...
That was double shipping?
Not double shipping. It was that, especially with the Superman books I found, because I would read way too many Superman books, and I should have, because it wasn't... The quality wasn't keeping up.
Yeah.
But it was that the artists weren't consistent.
Yeah.
So you didn't get... You didn't get a nice, smooth feel of the story you were reading. As much as you think, like, well, it's the same story. The art, if it changes halfway in the book because they couldn't keep the schedule, it totally throws you off of, like, keeping track with what's going on.
Yeah.
So now that they have, like, a scheduled, one guy does two issues of the first arc and then they continue, you at least get some sort of... fluid look to the book.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, you're gonna get an entire arc within a month and a half.
Yeah.
Not even that, right?
And all the trades will come out quicker.
Yeah. Hopefully with DC's editorial.
Yeah, that I always find they take a long time to release their trade.
Half a year.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just like, I want to read this book already. Like, I'm willing to give DC my money, because I've been reading DC for God knows how long, and it's like, if you put out the trades...
Do you think, are you a trade guy first, or do you buy single issues?
Depends.
Do you ever do both?
Yeah, I actually do.
I'm guilty of doing both, if I really like it.
The characters that I really, really care about, so like, let's say, because Nightwing's coming out now, right? Nightwing, I collect all the single issues for that.
Right.
Now that they're reprinting all the old school trades, right? Yeah. I'm definitely getting those, because I don't know, like... I'm reading them, I'm like, I don't remember any of this.
So it's all new again.
Yeah.
It's collected in a way where you can...
And it's like 20 issues. It's like 15, 20 issues for each trade. And you're still getting,
you're getting a lot.
A lot for how much you're paying. You're paying $25 for a trade.
Yeah.
$25, you have 15 issues, do the math, you're spending less than what you actually paid for those issues initially.
Those recollected stuff that DC's doing,
yeah.
I'm really happy with.
Yeah.
Because you're getting stuff, like, they're finally going to release Mark Waid's Flash, which is really cool.
I know they had that around only in hardcover. They only did one hardcover for it for a while. Like, they only kept one hardcover in print.
Of
Mark Waid's Flash, and nothing else.
They did them in, I have a couple of his, I got 4 Mark Waid trades of the Flash, but I had to, like, hunt for them in, like, secondhand stores.
Okay.
But there was nothing recent, and if you found it on Amazon, it was, like, a couple $100.
Yeah.
For those.
Yeah.
Because they're out of print.
Oh, true.
It's ridiculous. A lot
of that stuff is out of print.
Yeah.
That's why, before they started reprinting all the old school stuff, so, like, Robin and all the
That's newer, cool
like,
too.
Batman stuff, right? Like the Brubaker Batman's coming out now.
They're gonna do a Greg Rucka too.
Yeah, I saw that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
There was a Nightwing trade. I think it was one of the last trades for Nightwing before he became Batman. I think it was what was it called? The Great Leap. It was the last trade.
Okay.
It was the very last trade, and. Apparently, me and Daryl and Jesse all looked it up on like Amazon and eBay, and it was going for like $90.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why? Like, that's insane. Why would someone pay like $90 for and a trade?
And I've looked up sometimes like just to see if there's any updates with stuff like that. Yeah. And those same trades, no one's buying it. Like,
yeah.
No one's going to, come on, $100 for a 8-issue trade or whatever it was.
No, nobody...
They'll eventually re-release it.
And the thing is, they're releasing it now, so why go back and be like, oh, I'm going to buy all the old school trades? When they didn't do entire runs in trades
I would kind of do that. Like, I would kind of pay for it, because I have, like, the whole Hush storyline.
Yeah.
But there was a second one before Heart of Hush that I think Dustin Nguyen worked on.
Oh, that was Paul Dini, too.
It was, like, apparently it was really crappy, but just to complete my whole thing, I'm like, I can't find it anymore, because they're not printing it.
We got a third voice, gotta state your name, introduce yourself.
So I'm Ronnie, I'm a father, and, yeah.
And a Notorious B.I.G. fan. I like the t-shirt.
I like me some B.I.G.
Okay, Ronnie, I'm going to put you on the spot, because you were here last time, and you were quietly sitting in the background.
Yeah, no,
but now cool. You got to give us your comic book origin story.
So, it all started with Batman Hush.
Everybody seems to be like, it's a Batman Hush group here.
See, Batman's always been, like, I've always been big on Batman since I was a kid, like, the animated series, the Adam West. But when I got into the comics, it was just one summer I was bored, decided to go down to, like, a Chapters and just look at different comic books and stuff, and I was like, oh, Batman stuff, great. And this was back when you could buy Hush, and it was a two-part trade.
Yeah the one that. I got.
And I was just like, hate it.
It's the worst.
I was like, damn. So I was just sitting there, sitting with, like, a whole bunch of, like, Batman books, and I was just like, oh, this is awesome. And I even had, like, Long Halloween, but they started to close, and I was like, oh, I never got to read that, like, till this day. I still haven't read it.
No?
No.
Long Halloween's good.
Yeah, you gotta read that.
Yeah.
That's an essential. That, Dark Victory.
They do a lot from Long Halloween. I don't know if you noticed this, but they pulled a lot from that book onto screen. Like, a lot of, like, iconic panels.
Yes.
Like, when all three of them are standing on top of the rooftop.
Yes.
Like, that's a thing, and they're, like, rotating. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. It was just, like, the only thing that was kind of weird was that everybody was taller than Batman.
Yeah.
Like,
it's true.
It doesn't work as well.
Yeah. As you start watching those movies again and again, you realize, like, there's a couple things here
that are kinda
don't
weird.
Stand the test of time. For when it came out, there had been nothing that totally... represented Batman that well.
Yeah.
But now when you see how nobody's scared to put superheroes in their uniform or their costume.
Yeah.
Like, they always try to make Batman put him in something. It's like, we gotta make it make sense. Cause, like, who's gonna dress up like that? So they made him kind of look like he had biker armor on, right? And it was, and I like that they explained it all.
Yeah.
But now when you see, like, how Ben Affleck looked.
Yeah.
As Batman.
Where it's just like, okay, he has, he has that kind of division in his company where he can build a battle suit that doesn't look like a battle suit. It's just like Oh, it looks like clothing.
It looks, yeah, exactly, like, right from the comics.
It looks like yeah. Batman Hush.
Yeah, like, he looks like the live-action version of some dude's Mego.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And, yeah, when I saw it, it was, like, Jim Lee Hush or the Frank Miller Dark Knight
Returns. That's what, like, I thought first. I was, like, Dark Knight Returns. Yeah. Because it was, like, the short ears and the giant bat. I was, like, that's kind of Dark Knight Returns-ish.
Yeah,
I mean, good. Obviously, there's no underwear over the pants, which I'm, like, okay, I'm fine with. There's, like, no yellow belt, but it's like, that makes sense.
You need a yellow belt. So, what do you think, going back to Rebirth, and you can chime in too, Ronnie, feel free, cool. If you've read it. What do you think about the possibility of them using the Watchmen as an explanation for the loss of time that it seems like Dr. Manhattan has been manipulating something in the big scheme of things? Do you think that's a cop-out? Do you think that's cool? Do you think the Watchmen should never be touched? Because they revisited it with before Watchmen, which I haven't read, so I can't comment on it. But do you think the Watchmen should just be, like, stand alone, don't touch it, don't mess with it?
A lot of people who love the Watchmen would probably say that, but if DC has... Well, DC does have the rights to those characters, why not? I mean, they're in their arsenal. It explains what happens in between Flashpoint and New 52. Like, whoa, what? How is Batman for only 5 years? How does he only had...
That was a big problem.
So many Robins within that. How is Green Lantern... How is Hal Jordan even Green Lantern for this long?
Yeah.
How is Kylo Rayner this? How is... Like, there's a lot of unanswered questions, right? And it's like, well, Dr. Manhattan messed with the timeline. He took, like, 15, 20 years of everybody's time, which...
Smushed it. I like that they kind of, like, okay, we know there's a big discrepancy here for the readers who can't read these books without... Like, it's a legitimate explanation.
Yeah.
Like, Batman should not have accomplished and done all those things within 5 years.
Yeah. It literally took him, like, how many years to train?
And it's, like, what you're saying, like... Dick Grayson was Robin for like 6 months and then became Nightwing because he was like sick of it.
Yeah.
Because he became Robin, it seemed like an adult.
Yeah.
I hated that.
And like,
yeah.
How long did Jason last before he died?
It was like a month.
Yeah, for it all to make sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that. So I like that they address the elephant in the room. I don't know how much of a... Nobody, everyone's pretty like mum about how far they're going to go with that. But yeah. Even Batman found the comedian's...
Yeah.
Comedian's pin.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, theories of, like, oh, maybe comedian was... Spoilers if you haven't read it yet, but there's, like, three Jokers. Maybe comedian was one of them.
Yeah, what do you think of that? Do you want the Joker's history to be revealed?
I don't want to know who Joker is. I honestly don't.
I don't want it to be, like, three different people were him.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I like the fact that... My favorite origin story was The Killing Joke. That one I'm good with.
That and The Man Who Laughs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you could just read Killing Joke and then right after that, Man Who Laughs.
Exactly.
You'll be all right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the only way to, like, actually pull off the whole three different Jokers thing is if you do a whole thing where it's like, oh, they're all Joker, but they're all Jokers from, like, certain timelines, and they're just being time displaced because of Dr. Manhattan messing everything up.
That's cool.
That's the only thing where I can say, like, okay, three different Jokers works.
Yeah.
I thought, and this was a theory, like, I just, when they said that the Joker's identity would be revealed,
yeah.
I just took a stab in the dark that it could be a relative, like a son, a bastard son of Alfred Pennyworth.
I'm sold.
That's why, like, there's that direct connection with his obsession and hate. Like, he loves and hates Batman.
Yeah.
And then with what he did to Alfred when he chopped off the hand, like, that whole family dynamic.
Yeah. I'm
like, because they introduced...
When did he chop off the hand?
Sorry, spoilers. Endgame.
Yes,
I didn't get that far yet.
Yeah.
He, like, takes it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The way they did that story was, like, they actually made it count for something, which I don't think now. I think Alfred is back to normal. After Rebirth?
No, they gave him a hand.
Oh, did they? I didn't read after Endgame when once Commissioner Gordon was put into the bat suit and everything. Mm. I was kind of like...
I thought, when I heard about that, it was kind of odd.
Yeah, I was kind of like, ugh, just another thing till we get Bruce Wayne back. I'm kind of exhausted with this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Superman in the t-shirt again. I'm like, ugh.
But yeah. I'm happy Bruce is back, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had to come back. As soon as you, when a movie's coming out, you know they're going to bring the main guy
back
to the comics in that character
How
role,
convenient
right?
was that? It was like exactly 10 issues.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, look. Batman, like, Bruce is coming back in time for Batman versus Superman the week it comes out. Guys, we know what you're doing.
And
we know exactly what you're
and
doing.
And Steve Rogers became Captain America again right around Civil War.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, that's right.
So, and Spider-Man came back from being in the Doc Ock subconscious.
Yeah, when Amazing Spider-Man 2 dropped. Yep, yeah. I was like, oh,
coincidence?
Well, yeah. I think not.
Yeah, exactly. So far, so good.
With Rebirth, definitely. We've been selling out of number ones. We still have a bunch of number twos, but this is like the week where we finally find out, hey, who's actually going to stick around? Sorry. And read all of these books, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not just going to be like, oh, I'm going to buy number one just because it might be worth something in like the future. No, but like they printed like a lot of this. Yeah, okay, you have a first print of it. There's a second printing. There's a third printing, a fourth printing. But it's because people, want
the demand, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like when they did New 52. Like, that was, I jumped off of comics during that time. So I'm like, I've been collecting so much of Batman RIP. And the whole new Krypton storyline Superman had. And Red Robin. Like,
oh, my God.
I was in it, right?
I remember reading that. That was actually not, like, that was...
It was started off good, and then it kept going for too long. I was like, okay, this is getting exhausting.
There's so many books of that. I remember that,
too.
They, I was collecting the hardcovers.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And now they're like, you can't give them away to people. And then all of a sudden, they're like, okay, we're cleaning the slate. Everything you've read...
Yeah.
Erase it. And I'm like, forget this. I'm jumping off.
Yeah.
And then you see Court of Owls, the number one Batman for when they relaunch, because it's the first time Batman's ever been renumbered, right?
Yeah.
It's like $175.
And it was amazing, too.
It was good.
Like, yeah.
That was good, yeah. So it was like, oh, man, do I make that mistake again and not pick up a number one of Green Arrow because it could be the hottest book in the future? You never know, right?
Yeah.
But you can't collect that way.
You know what? When New 52 started and I heard Scott Snyder was, like, writing Batman, I was kind of sad about that. I'm just like, I liked his writing for Dick Grayson a lot more than Bruce, because he wrote Gates of Gotham, which was just Dick Grayson and Tim Drake, and then you got Black Mirror, right? So it only
Black
made
Black Mirror was good.
Yeah, and it only made sense, like, why didn't he just write Nightwing? And how many people didn't like the Nightwing series? Not a lot of people enjoyed it. I mean, I know you enjoyed it.
I when I got back into comics, I started buying all the New 52 stuff. I wasn't as jaded as everybody else was who had been like, oh, this isn't my character. I just gave it a fair shot.
Yeah.
And I didn't try to go in with preconceived biases. And a part of it, too, was that I was listening to a lot of podcasts where they were interviewing these guys. So, like, I heard an interview with Kyle Higgins before I had read anything.
Yeah.
And so it intrigued me. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to give this guy a shot because he seems like he really likes the character.
Yeah.
It doesn't stick with me as much now,
but
that's also because Grayson became
such
a good book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's almost like everything that happened in New 52 is almost like, other than the Batman stuff, the Wonder Woman stuff.
It doesn't really matter.
All the Superman stuff doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Maybe like a bit of the Flash stuff.
Like, even then.
Or Aquaman.
Yeah. Aquaman is what really, like, that's when people started, like, going crazy for that.
Yeah. The Justice League stuff is probably going to be the thing that matters most, right?
Yeah.
Because it was one writer, all 52 issues. Batman was the same thing. Like, when you have a good long run with a vision finished.
Yeah.
That's worth reading.
Yeah.
But a lot of the other stuff was, like, every two trades is different writer.
Yeah.
Felt like, right?
Yeah.
So,
like, Brett and the Outlaws, you had, like...
Oh, my God.
It started off with Scott Lobdell, then it went over to James Tynion.
Yeah.
And then it went back to Scott Lobdell.
And now it's a different team.
And then now it's Scott Lobdell again.
Oh, never mind then.
Like, it's still Scott... Like, he's still going to be writing that, like, book.
You know what I want? I just, like... I just want Red Hood to have, like, a solo series.
with no team.
And it could be all about redemption. I don't care. Make it work. But, like stop. And, like, I don't know if you know, but for Rebirth, he's teamed up with, like, Bizarro and, like, some Amazon. I can't remember.
What? Why? Why didn't you just go back with Arsenal and...
Because they had, like, a falling out kind of in the end of New 52. So now, it's like, oh, he's striking out on his own.
Well, but so then why didn't you just go out on your own? I ran into
Bizarro and thing and...
Why didn't you just like, go out on your own? Like, why? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
I don't want... See, that's the thing. We've seen Red Hood fight aliens ever since day one in New 52.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we haven't seen him grounded with Batman and Nightwing, and like we haven't seen enough of like the interaction between the two of them from New 52.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where they are family again. Hey,
you only get that in like Death of the
Family. Yeah, you only get that in the Batman books. But
or like, Batman Eternal a little bit.
Yeah. And even then it's like that's not much. But you want a book where it's like, hey, all the Robins are together. Like say just all like anyone who's like, Robin?
We are Robin.
Yeah, kind of like that, except it's actually just the four of them.
Speaking of...
Like,
read the hell out of
Tim, it. Dick, Jason, and Damien. All of them working together.
I would read the hell out of
that. That'd be great. I'd read that so you know what? It would be just a
fight of who gets to be called Robin.
I feel like Full House, but with Robin. And then, like, have Alfred there, just because they share the same house.
You know, what? I was writing a fan fiction for a while about that, where it was just the four of them together. That's like, cool. Batman didn't mess around with them. It wasn't, like, it wasn't held down by continuity. It was just, like, what I thought they should all be together. And it was, like, Damien and Tim always arguing, and Jason and Dick always arguing together, which makes sense.
Right? Oh, my God, that'd make an awesome TV show.
That would make an awesome TV show.
The Bat family is big enough where you can be, like, this week's guest character is Huntress, or Stephanie.
That's what I did. That's what like, I did, too.
You know what I mean?
Every time, like, I was doing this for Tumblr for a long time, right? And I would put up stuff, like, just scripts and whatnot. It'd be like, okay, like, this time they're teaming up with Huntress, like you said.
Yeah.
Or they'd be teaming up with Spoiler, or so-and-so comes in, and Damien was best friends with Superman's son, who is now...
Yeah, that's cool.
Dropping by.
Yeah.
Crypto, because he had to walk the dog.
And I was like...
That's going
to
be a book.
Yeah, and the thing is, my idea was that... his name is John, right?
Yeah, Jonathan. Yeah.
He couldn't control his powers as well, so Damien would have to try to figure some scientific thing out where it was like, okay, I'm going to use Kryptonian DNA and like whatever else and like my... Like, use my scientific mind to figure out how to use your powers properly and, like, how to unleash all your powers. And it was just, like, that ongoing thing throughout, like, when they interact with each other.
That should be an interesting book.
Yeah, when like...
it comes out.
I was telling my cousin this. I was just like, imagine if I pitched this to DC. I was just like, hey.
Yeah, DC, if you're listening.
Yeah, if you're listening.
Now they're doing it. Doesn't that always happen?
Yeah.
So, on the other side of the street, since DC is now relaunched with Rebirth,
yeah,
Marvel had to... It never failed, right?
Of course Marvel had to. They
always have to have a summer event at the same time. They always have to do some renumbering of the books at the same time. One can't do without the other. So, again, and it just seems like they did it, right? After Secret Wars. They just renumbered their books. Some of them are not even 12 issues in.
I know some of them aren't going to be renumbering. Either,
but
a lot of the standalone ones aren't going to be renumbering.
So we got in our hands the Marvel Now free previews that you could get at your comic shop for free. So if you go to a comic shop or come down to Cyber City Comics,
we have a bunch of them.
Come
by.
Come take a look at it. You can see what's coming out, who's writing what the teams are.
So just based off of flipping to the first two pages of what's coming out, Mark Waid's going to be doing a lot of stuff for Marvel.
And that's never a bad thing. When you see any book with Mark Waid's name on it, probably worth checking out.
Yeah, I mean, I picked up the bundle of all new different Avengers.
You still have some?
Yeah, we got some around here.
And how is it? How did it...
You know what? It's actually really good.
Yeah?
I thought that it would be kind of weird because it's just different characters. He's never worked with any of them. And it's just like, it works really well. They're all kids. They're trying to, like, argue with each other. I was like, all right, I'll stick around with it.
So, okay, so now he's got... So there's the... What is the Avengers main Avengers title to read? Because this is the one thing that discourages me from whenever Marvel relaunches their stuff.
Yeah.
Because they got New Avengers, they've got Avengers, they got Uncanny Avengers.
Yeah.
Then they got it's Avengers AI.
So the stuff that you should be reading right now that matters is all new, all different Avengers.
So that's the main Avengers book. Main team.
Yeah.
Because then you got the Avengers with Deadpool in it. What's that book called?
Uncanny Avengers.
That's...
Which actually is just...
X-Men and Avengers.
Yeah, X-Men and Avengers, but it's kind of Uncanny X-Force-ish.
Okay. Okay.
Where they're, like, going through time, they're dealing with stuff, like, more mutant stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Then, yeah, they're dealing with more mutant stuff than they are Avengers stuff.
Okay, that, I mean...
Because they're trying to figure out what happened to Professor X, and Red Skull's in it, but he's trying to, like...
And this is in the Deadpool Avenger team. Okay. Not that he's the leader, but...
No.
Okay, so this Avengers number 1.1, is it a 0.1 series? Is that what we're supposed to take it as?
I think it's just...
Because it looks like the classic Avengers.
You know what it is? Marvel does this a lot. They do 1.1, right? And it'll be like 1.5, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4, 1.5. They'll only go up to 5, from what I've seen. And that's a miniseries.
Right.
That's their miniseries to whatever goes on with that Avengers title.
Some of them are good.
Some of them are really good.
But then some of them are like, throw it away or use it as like paper underneath your bird's cage.
Yeah. What was it? Not the most recent Amazing Spider-Man stuff.
Not the
one that's coming out right now.
Okay. I know the one. It ended the series. It was Spider-Man. It was written by Jerry Conway.
Yeah, the Spiral stuff.
That started off good.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I like the art.
It ended a little bit. Eh.
No, that might have been editorial too.
Yeah, I liked it, though, while I was reading it. I thought it held up. The art was good. Jerry Conway knows how to write comics.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, too. Like, one of the best Spider-Man writers.
Yeah.
So, this 1.1, you think it's just going to be a miniseries?
It's just going to be the start for a miniseries.
Okay.
Yeah.
It looks good.
Which it usually is.
Mark Waid, like we said before, this isn't hyperbole, one of the best comic writers of all time.
Yeah. One of the best.
Everything he writes is pretty much gold.
Yeah.
I can agree. And, like, the only Mark Waid I've ever really read was his Daredevil stuff.
But that's a long Daredevil run.
Yeah.
That's, like, almost 50 issues. I think it's 50 issues.
More.
Yeah.
More. Yeah.
It's like 50-something? 54?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything he's done... If you like the Flash TV show...
Yeah.
A lot of it has to do with what Mark Waid wrote for the Flash.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Right?
I was just like, why have I seen this before?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah.
He came up with the Speed Force. Well, let's just put it that way. Okay, Champions. I thought Cyclops was killed in the comics.
This is young Cyclops from
all-new X-Men.
Yeah, this is like, how many years ago? Four or five years ago.
Okay, so he's sticking around.
Beast took... Young Scott and everybody else.
That was cool.
First X-Men.
Yeah, that, like, you know
that
what?
That was a cool book.
Yeah.
Until
I think
it
that
started...
was for AVX, I think. No,
that was
after
AVX.
That was after AVX, when Cyclops had become kind of like the new Magneto.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
but you know what? That's... Everybody was complaining, like, oh, you know, Scott Summers is such a Boy Scout. You should, like, toughen up. Now he's toughening up. Oh, why is Cyclops like... why does he have something stuck up on, like, the sun doesn't shine? Like, what?
You can't... He's one of those guys that you're always going to hate him, no matter what. But I liked when they brought back the original X-Men. That was cool.
Yeah. And, like, Scott's kind of just like, I don't know what's going on.
Oh, my God. That moment, though, when he saw Jean again.
Yeah.
What?
He was like...
I gotta finish reading that series. I got the last trade to finish, but...
You know what? Near the end, it gets kind of wonky.
Yeah, because I heard that's where, like... They do a lot of crossover with
Guardians.
Yeah,
after Battle of the Atom, that's where it kind of starts falling off the rails.
Yeah.
But before that, it's, like, really, really good.
Yeah, no, it's a very strong book.
There was a part where, like, the Uncanny Avengers crossed over into it, so you see Havoc and Scott finally speak again.
Yeah.
Because they, like, they don't actually talk, ever.
Yeah.
Beforehand. Because Uncanny Avengers was, like, in a different dimension.
It was cool. That was a good book, too.
That was a really good book.
A lot of them are, like, the first wave of Marvel now.
Was really good.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. So, Champions, you in for that? I like Probably. The team. I like Ms. Marvel already.
I just don't like Humberto Ramos. Nothing against him. Like, personally, it's just... It's kind of too cartoony.
Some people... Yeah, I hear a lot of people who either love his Spider-Man stuff or they hate it.
Yeah.
It's a love or hate thing with him.
You know what? I'll give him credit for this. He can definitely lay out really good action scenes. For each panel.
Yeah. You get used to it.
Yeah.
He
can probably choreograph.
any artist that you read long enough who stick with a book, I think, and the story matches
their
art... You'll get used to it, and you'll learn to appreciate
it. It's like Spidey 2099. The art really goes well with the writing.
The current one or the old stuff?
Both. It's both the same guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. It's really good, man. There are parts where, like, you're kind of like, what just happened? Because he'll have Scrubs moments. Have you ever watched Scrubs? Where they kind of, they go off to their mind, and, like, they see how they want things to go, but then it doesn't actually happen in real life, and they're just kind of like, they're back to reality, and they're like, yeah, it's okay. There's this part where somebody at at the place that Miguel works at finds out that he's Spider-Man, just a Spider-Man, and she comes to his apartment, and it's just like, oh, I know who you are. You're Spider-Man. And he's just, like, Miguel's just thinking in his head. It's like, oh, well, she's figured me out. Oh, there's only one thing to do. And you see him grab her by the throat and toss her out the window. And then the next panel, you'll turn the page, and it's her still talking and him, like...
It was just the imagination.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, you know what? That's too overdramatic. let's think of something else. And you're just like, what? What just happened? Did he kill her or not? And they're just still talking about it, like, yep, okay, all right.
So does it take a while for you to get adjusted to that pace of the book, knowing that they're going to imagine something?
But yeah, then... like, it'll just happen out of nowhere, and you're just like, what?
Once you get it, though, it makes the book fun.
Yeah, that's what the book is. It's more fun than it is serious, but when it gets serious, stuff goes down.
Got it. Okay, like, I'm looking at this here. I see...
There's a lot of Mark
Avengers 1.1.
It's Uncanny Avengers.
Occupy Avengers. Avengers number... So they're restarting Avengers again?
I guess.
Okay.
I mean, at least it's still Mark Waid. It's Del Mundo. Del Mundo's also local, too. He is buddies with one of Daryl's close friends.
We should get him on the show. Okay, Uncanny Avengers keeping its numbering.
Yeah.
Then you got U.S. Avengers. Ugh.
Is going to be run by...
Just looking at it.
Dr. Doom. That looks so bad. Like, I'm sorry to, like, the guys that are doing that book, but, like...
Does it kind of remind you of Broforce, though?
Which one?
The
U.S. Avengers.
Yeah, it's just... I don't know. It's just too much.
Oh, my God, Broforce.
No, it's just the whole patriotic thing reminds me of Broforce.
And then you got Occupy Avengers with Hawkeye.
Ultimate Squared.
Yes. Ultimate Squares, which is basically Avengers again, right?
Yeah.
The Ultimates were the Avengers in the Ultimate Comic Marvel Universe,
But, like, they're not even part of the Ultimate Universe anymore. It's just, like...
That's too much.
None of them are Ultimates!
Great Lake Avengers. I don't even going to comment on that.
Is it me or in Ultimate Square, does Captain Marvel kind of little bit look like... Oh, damn, what's his name? Conan O'Brien.
a little bit.
Okay, Squadron Supreme is keeping their numbering,
and the
but
creative team.
Yeah. Oh, and here's this. Like, they have. It's a Finding Namor.
I bet you Namor comes
in the
back.
Wait, is that a Finding
Dory? Yeah, that's a Finding Dory thing. Oh,
that's hilarious. This is cool. Jim Zub.
With, Thunderbolts? I want to read it, man.
He's a local guy, Jim Zub.
Yeah.
He's a teacher at...
York University.
Yeah. I think it's the Seneca Division.
Yeah.
There.
He's, I think he's friends with Daryl, too. Like, he's... Well, not friends, but, like, he knows him.
Yeah. He was a nice guy. I met him at a con a few years ago. Really friendly guy.
He's always at, like, the Toronto Comic Con.
Yeah.
Fan Expo. He'll always go.
The it's cool to see like somebody that he was just selling skull kickers at the time.
Really?
I met him. So now to see him like do a Marvel book, it's really cool. So there's a bunch of Iron Mans now. Is Iron, like, you guys read any Iron Man stuff?
I'm actually reading the Bendis stuff right now.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's actually really good.
I've never been, like, inclined to read an Iron Man book, because I never felt like he had a strong run other than the Warren Ellis stuff that they kind of built the movie off of.
Did you read the Mad Fraction stuff?
No, I heard that was good.
That's really good. That's solid, like, that's just solid all the way through.
But same I've never writer, seen a nice collection artist. Of it.
Because they don't do Ultimate Collections.
Is that the one I took from you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They don't do Ultimate Collections for that.
They will. They will eventually.
Hopefully. It's been so many years. They only did two hardcovers for that.
No way.
Yeah.
I have no say. I'm mostly a DC person. I'm really selective with Marvel.
You know what, Ronnie? For the Marvel Now stuff, if you go back and... If you invest in some of those nice hardcovers that they had, where they had like 12 issues at a time... Yeah.
It's easy to read.
And almost all of those things that they make in like those oversized hardcovers are worth reading.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Other than Inhuman, you don't really need to like...
That was good, too. I read that. Did you read that?
I read the first three issues and I was like not sold on it because Joe Madd did not continue with that book.
The writer's good. Charles Sewell is a good writer.
The thing is that because it took so long for that book to come out initially, I just wasn't interested.
Okay.
It took too long to come out. It was delayed like 3 or 4 times.
It's a nice collection though, because it's all there. So yeah. You could read 1 to 15, get the whole story, get a taste of like the Inhuman world.
All right.
Which is interesting. So it's a nice.
The last thing that I read that was Inhuman was Karnak. And okay. I didn't even read Paul. Yeah. I didn't even read Paul Jenkins' Inhumans, which I hear is amazing.
I have that hardcover, so I gotta read that.
I wanna read it too.
I got a stack, man, of stuff I gotta read. But yeah, I've from reading that Inhumans to the Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, that's really good.
Yeah.
And getting into that world of the Inhumans, it's really interesting.
Yeah. Because it's a different side of the Inhumans. But if you, like, because I'm reading Karnak, it's more of a darker side of the Inhuman stuff. Because he straight up kills people.
Yeah.
And he kicks someone in half. Like, literally kicks someone in half.
Black Bolt is... He never says anything.
Yeah.
And as you read it, you know that at some point in the book, he's going to utter one word. Yeah. And it's going to just cost so much. Have you ever
read Infinity?
Yes.
Jonathan Hickman.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I read that.
That was really good. The first issue, there was one of Thanos' assassin creatures thing that came around and stole something from one of the Inhumans. I can't remember if it was Black Bolt or someone else. But he chased after him, and he just, like, muttered a word, like, stop. And it was just bang. Boom.
Yeah.
Blew up.
Yeah.
It's like, what? It's pretty
sick. You know what I want? I want a Black Bolt, like, solo series where it's just, like, no words.
Where it's just, he's shrugging the entire time, and everybody else talks.
But that comic would sell if they could.
You know what would be cool? If they did a Black Bolt comic,
but
you never see him in it. It's him seeing everyone else talk around him.
Oh, yeah.
That'd actually be really cool. Just his perspective. Yeah.
Right? And so how does he communicate with Medusa for him? And it would just be like internal dialogue for you to know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
Because you never even know what he's thinking, right?
Yeah.
But Medusa always speaks for him.
Yeah.
So it'd be cool to see a book that was just him looking around at stuff happening. Yeah.
That's awesome. I was just thinking about like, they did his whole series the way they did that one issue after Damian died.
Oh, yeah.
That Batman and Robin book.
What an amazing issue.
It was just like no words until Bruce finds his little late letter in his locker.
Oh, my God. That hurt so much. Yeah,
just for that, I got like the first printing and the variant. And I was like, when I get to my own place, I'm framing that.
Yeah, that's a great issue. You know, those guys are doing the Superman now. It's good.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I've heard too. I read the first issue, not the first issue of the ongoing. I read the one shot that Doug Mankey drew. I think
Yeah,
that was really good.
The series is good. If you like the Batman and Robin with those guys, it has a lot of the same feel because it's Superman
and John
training his son how to handle his power. So he's taking him sometimes on a mission.
Yeah,
he says, "Just wait here and watch me," and then he'll call him in.
Yeah.
Like, okay, use your heat vision. I don't want to spoil it for you, but there was one really cool scene where he was training him to use his heat vision as Superman's battling.
Yeah.
and he's like, shoot it in this area of the monster.
Yeah.
But he's missing him. He's just hitting Superman in the shoulder, burning right through him, right?
Yeah.
He's like, close your eyes a little more, tighten your vision, and just move a little bit until he gets right by his head.
Yeah.
So when he goes, he's like, Dad, I was really killing you, it looked like. He's like, no, I'm good. But when you go home, you see Lois, like, putting ointment on him because he really did a number on him,
getting
right?
too old for that stuff.
Yeah, it was my pool. Yeah, no, it's good. You guys read Silver Surfer? Dan Slott, Silver Surfer?
I hear it's actually really good. I hear it's, like, a lot of fun.
It's a quiet book that is getting a lot of acclaim. I'm surprised they haven't done one of those oversized hard covers for it, because it's
There's only been 11 issues for the first one?
No, the first run before they renumbered it was 15.
Oh, really?
Right up until Secret Wars. So that could be one nice hardcover.
Yeah.
And now they've restarted it again, and it's still... consistently, they're saying it's still good.
Okay.
And it's the same team, too, which is nice.
All right. Black Panther's still the same.
Yeah, that's a good book, too.
Yeah. Nice
coats. Yeah, that's good, too.
Chris Sprouse, man. I haven't seen him draw anything in a while.
What has he drawn? What would he know? What would I know that he's done?
Oh. What was the last thing that he drew? I can't remember. Yeah, I have to look this up. Really quickly.
What do you think of this Jessica Jones number one?
As long as they keep it...
the original team?
The original team, and they label it as, like, a Max series, like how they did last time.
To keep it adult?
Yeah. That'd be nice.
I have not read any Jessica Jones things.
It's more mature Netflix. And, like, detective-like.
Yeah.
Very like noir. Very noir.
I was gonna say that.
Yeah. Doctor Strange. I don't read Doctor Strange.
I hear it's really good.
Yeah, I hear it's good. Jason Aaron's writing it, but I'm not into the whole magic and mystic stuff. But Thor, Unworthy Thor. Now that looks interesting, and it's Olivier Coipel. Which is nice.
Let me just quickly turn.
Is that is it just me? Or does that look like Chris Hemsworth a little bit?
It does. It really does. He does good, man.
How has been the Mighty Thor with? The lady, I don't want to say lady
Thor. With Lady Thor?
People get offended by that, but with, you know.
I mean, like, how else are you supposed to describe it? Like,
well,
Lady Thor, Femme Thor, or
like
just, well, spoilers to whoever's, still behind, like, Jane Foster.
Yeah. How was that? Was it good?
It's alright. I mean, you barely see Thor in it.
Yeah, well, it's all her, right?
But yeah.
Is it good? Is it as good as God of Thunder?
No. Definitely not.
No?
God of Thunder is like its own book. Like, that should be its own thing.
Unworthy Thor. That'll be interesting.
What
made him unworthy?
He did Global Frequency with Warren Ellis.
Don't know it.
He did Legion of Superheroes. He did Tom Strong and the Planet of Peril. He did some Action Comics, Rocketeer Adventures, and there's a few other things. Nothing too crazy.
Inhumans continues with Charles Soule. That's cool.
That Moon Knight cover looks sick.
Oh, Moon Knight. Jeff Lemire. Yeah, well, Jeff Lemire. I mean,
it's still the same team. Yeah.
Anything he writes is pretty much worth
Black
reading.
Widow.
Yeah. Is that still Wade?
Yeah, it's still Wade and Sammy. Those guys will all, like...
Their names will be forever connected after the Daredevil run.
Yeah.
Like, how's the new Daredevil run?
I don't know. You're reading it.
I haven't caught up on that. I read, like, the first two issues, and I liked it.
I hear if you like Frank Miller, like, Bendis, Brubaker stuff.
The covers look amazing.
It's cause, you know why? It's because it's all sequins.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's why. No, if you like that era of Daredevil.
Basically
like
everything other than Mark Waid.
Yeah, everything but Mark Waid. You'll like his Daredevil, but, like, I'm kind of biased as to liking... Daredevil.
What I didn't like about... I liked the art in it, but it just looked like the book was black and white with some red.
Yeah, that's essentially what the book is pretty much
which is
like.
Which is interesting, but when you go from... Now, you want to separate yourself from whatever the last guy did,
yeah.
Right? But, I don't know, it's just too dark all the time. Like, there's...
Like it's not... Like, at least with Frank Miller's Daredevil run... you actually had colors with that.
Yeah. It could still be dark, but half like daytime. Some sunshine comes into
the... Same with well, Max argues with me about this all the time. Because we were talking about Bendis and Maleev's run. He's like, oh, Maleev doesn't have colors, whatever, whatever. I'm just like, no, he has a lot of colors in that. I mean, you see Spider-Man, you see Iron Fist in that, you see...
It's just tone.
Cage. It's
it has a certain tone
to it. You know what? Whenever you see any of that happen, it's during the night. Of course it's going to be, like, barely any colors.
Right, right, right.
Flipping forward. Oh, my God. No. I am so looking forward to Iron Fist.
The return of Cary Andrews.
Yes. Yeah, but it's not. He's not awesome. He's not
drawing it.
Still, he's awesome. I support him.
As long as he does the covers, I'm set.
And he's a super nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was one of those guys where, when I went to Fan Expo and had my stack of Iron Fist for him to sign.
Yeah.
I never really went to Fan Expo knowing the protocol or the etiquette of how to get, like, how much do I bring to a guy to sign?
Yeah,
that was me too.
If I bring, like, 5 stuff, is he going to charge me? Is it going to make everybody in line get upset with me? But then I see people going with, like, short boxes of stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, well, if you could do my whole collection, you won't mind doing 5 or 6 of just your... But his signature is so unique.
It's so clean.
And then on the Iron Fist #1, he drew a little
head sketch, yeah.
That was really cool of him.
And the thing is, like, he didn't charge anybody for that. He was just like, there you go.
Yeah, when I went to get mine signed, it was before 6 came out. Issue 6 of his run came out. And I was just like, man, I lost my, like, the week before I went to my comic book guy just to get, like, my books and stuff.
Yeah.
And I lost my phone on the bus.
On the way home.
So I went up and I was like, man, like, I can't believe, like, you're actually signing stuff. I love your run and everything. And I was like, man, I'd ask if I could take a picture with you, but I don't have my phone on me. And I told him I lost it. He's like, I'll take a picture with you. I'll send it to you. I'll email it to you, too. And I was like, no way. He's like, yeah. You just give me your email. And he wrote it down on the table with the sheet.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'll send it to you. So we took a picture, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay, here, you hold, we'll take a picture with my 2 favorite covers you have out right now. It's like 1 in 3, I think.
Yeah, 3 that's was awesome. Sick.
Yeah.
That's nice.
3 was the one with the, where he's standing on top and then there's a dragon in the back.
All those covers were nice. How many issues did it go up to?
It was only 12 issues, but that was still really good.
The second trade, I never saw it come out. Did it ever come out, the second trade?
Yeah.
Because I have the first 6.
Yeah.
Did it end well?
Yeah, it ended well. I mean, he punched a god into non-existence, so...
Well, it's nice that they're giving him another shot at it, because I think it had its following, right?
Yeah, and,
the
like...
The whole thing is consistent, like...
All the way through, it's like...
I love how his art on the inside had, like... It looked like he had drawn it on some sort of, like, ancient papyrus paper or something, you know what I mean? Like,
that old Kung Fu movie feel.
That's really cool about it.
Yeah, it was really cool. It had a whole ambiance to it. Again, Miss Marvel, if you haven't read Miss Marvel.
I still have to read it.
I still haven't read it.
I haven't read any of the relaunch of it. I read the first 21 really issues. Good. Yeah, it's really
consistent. It's still the same person, too.
Yeah, it's a really good, really good series.
It's just the artist always changes. That's the only problem with that.
The first one, though, they went 21 issues, 22 issues of the same artist. Adrian Alfana?
Yeah.
The guy who did Runaways?
Yeah.
He did almost
all of it. Alfana's really good.
Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to this. I bought the #1 of this.
Yeah.
And the variants to it. I want to get another nice big collection of it.
Going back to the variants on Iron Fist, I got him to sign my #1 of the one where he's shirtless and he has the chi hand.
Oh, yeah.
And Dale Keown was there the year afterwards.
He did that?
Sign that too.
Did he do
it? Yeah, he did the variant cover and I got him to sign it. And I was just like, so why don't you put any books out? He's like, well, I got other projects to do and... That's pretty much what's paying my bills. I'm like, oh, really? So, like, they don't, like, Marvel doesn't give you anything? It's like, no. They just ask me to, like, do a cover every now and then. Like, that'll pay, like, a good chunk of my bills. I'm like,
wow.
All right.
Man, I wish I could draw.
Going back to Bullseye, what do you guys feel about that?
I don't know. Ed Brisson's a good writer.
Who's writing
for crime stuff? Ed Brisson.
I don't...
He did. Anything about him. Have you ever read Sheltered?
Mm-mm.
He wrote Sheltered. He did a few other things.
They were doing Bullseye and Kingpin.
Yeah.
So you know what that means.
Man without flaw, man without hope.
That's probably going to be around the same time that, like, Daredevil draws.
Daredevil Season 3?
If probably we get a Season have... 3.
Oh, you're going to get Season 3.
It's either we get Season 3 or we're going to get Defenders.
Well, Defenders is definitely coming, but
yeah.
You know that there's going to make a Daredevil
Season 3. You know why they're doing Iron Fist, though, too.
That's right. Because
of the show.
That's right. Well, hey, man, it's good business synergy, right?
That's going to hit home with me, too, because, like, Aaliyah, she's growing up.
You're gonna teach her martial arts too?
Yeah, I'm thinking about bringing out the kicking pad and just having her kick it.
Well, you have it at home, why not?
Yeah.
So, Death of X, Jeff Lemire, Charles Soule.
Yeah.
Are they?
Is it Soule or Soule?
Take your pick.
I've been saying Soule this entire time.
Caramel, caramel.
Yeah. I think it's Charles Soule, I think.
Yeah,
I gotta check.
You gotta meet him.
I gotta check. Well, I went to a panel with him and Brian Azzarello, which was really cool, at a fan expo a few years ago, and I think it was Charles Soule. Guy's a lawyer. You guys know that?
Huh.
He's a like a full time lawyer, and he writes, probably he may have the most comic book titles under his name right now.
That's awesome. So he's a full time lawyer. And he's a full-time comic book writer.
I think the comic book writing is taking up most of his time now because he's, like, in full force.
Yeah.
And he's writing Daredevil. He's writing Death of X. He's writing Inhumans.
He's writing both Inhumans books.
Yeah. He was doing She-Hulk, and he liked doing that because she was a lawyer. Daredevil was a lawyer, right? Goes well. He did Superman Wonder Woman.
Superman Wonder Woman was really good. I like that, too.
When he did, I think, the first 12 issues of it.
Yeah. I just want to get those.
Yeah.
Just those issues, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Like, I know Peter J. Tomasi and Doug Mankey take over, and here that's really good too, but, like, because of the change in art, it, like, throws you off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and there was too many crossovers that they were mixing the books up
Doomed.
With.
Doomed is what screwed me. That's why I stopped collecting the book.
Doomed isn't bad if you read it as one, but yeah. They made the series, they made that
series so long,
yeah,
that, like, nobody really
too long,
like, yeah,
really too long. He's a really nice guy, Charles Soule. I met him.
Yeah,
yeah, he's a really nice guy too.
Can someone explain Gwenpool to me? I still don't understand what's going on.
I can't.
Gwenpool is pretty much a femme version of Deadpool from a different universe, but they brought her over into our universe.
Okay.
After Secret Wars.
Alright.
It still explains, like, where did she come from? Yeah. Like, no, nobody knows.
Okay, I haven't read any of the Amazing Spider-Man after Secret Wars. I read a couple. I stopped.
I hear it's all right.
Dan Slott is pretty consistent, which is good. And he knows Spider-Man now. But this clone conspiracy, any idea what that's about at all?
No, this is the first time hearing of it. I mean, I hope it's not another huge event because Jim Chung's on it. And usually when Jim Chung's on a book, you know it's going to be a huge event.
Okay.
Because the last thing that he did was Infinity.
Really?
Yeah. I remember, I think it was Infinity. Okay, like, we totally ignored this entire thing that was Jeff Lemire
yeah.
and Mike Diodato. Like, come on, guys!
Thanos. Again, space.
But Lemire and Diodato, and it's one person, like... Please, space. Just Marvel
you
take
don't like
all
the cosmic
money.
Stories.
I can't. It's the cosmic, and then it's like cases with like Thor. I think like if it's
I
someone
like Thor.
That's yeah, but
Thor's
like if,
good.
Yeah, no, I know, but like someone that's tied to like a myth or like if they're considered a god.
So no Guardians kinda, of the Galaxy. It just goes over your head.
Yeah, it does. Because those characters, I'm just like, maybe Drax I'll give a chance, but even then, I'm like, I need someone to push me to it.
I just finished that series.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did like it.
Abaddon and Landing, man.
The last part of it, the last arc kind of confused me because it kind of got, like, real cosmic and spacey and time shifted and stuff, but it's weird. Like, even when I don't understand that stuff,
yeah.
I just like the whole travel and space and
It's a fun book.
It's like
that's what it's supposed to be.
It almost doesn't make sense where I don't care. I'm like, who cares? This is fake. Like, I know this is impossible. So it's just go along for the ride and have fun with it.
Yeah.
But like for me, it was like someone that's been tied to like being a god or considered a god at like, say in a different like form of literature. To me, is like as a comic book character. Like I personally feel like that's a cheap idea.
That's Stan Lee, though, right?
That's like if Jesus became a comic book character. I was just, hey, look.
You comparing Thor to Jesus, Ronnie? Come on.
That's a shot at Catholics, too.
Yeah, I know, but like that, it's funny because I'm Catholic, but that's just how I look at it. It was kind of like...
Well, I understand what you're saying, and that's why I kind of like... Because there were people who did believe, like Thor and Odin and all that stuff really existed, like the Greek gods and stuff. But when I look at comic book Thor, I kind of separate it from that old mythology. As much as it's used very, like, liberally. Like, they take and borrow and add, and I always separate Marvel comic book Thor from... Because Thor could be used... Any comic book company can do a Thor comic.
Mm. Right? Yeah, like, that's what Ragnarok is.
Yeah, Walt Simonson did his own Thor for IDW, right?
Yeah.
So there's Marvel
Thor...
It's
like dead Thor.
Yeah. So I always... You gotta separate it, right? There's Marvel Comics Thor, and then whatever other Thor you want to talk about. But yeah, Thanos, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
And when does it give a date when any of these launch, right?
No. It's just going to happen one day.
And then just one day.
In one day, and it's going to be like... And you know what? When it happens, there's going to be so many Marvel books.
Yeah.
But, last page.
I'm not there yet. So Luke Cage is coming out with a book.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And it's written and drawn by the same dude. What's his name? Who's here? Hold on. I just passed it.
Can't say it.
Gendy Tartakovsky.
I don't like that art. That's what
you know what it reminds me of?
Video game?
Yeah. Samurai Jack.
Yeah. That's a good person. Yeah.
It could be fun. It could be nice.
It could be, I guess, depending on the tone of it.
Yeah.
Prowler looks sick.
Prowler, yeah, that looks good.
All these books could potentially be good or just really, really bad. There's no in between. Well, there could be an in between.
How do you guys feel about that Miles Morales and Spider-Gwen?
Okay, it's a cover.
True.
Oh, that's going to sell out.
Yeah.
That's going to be one of those things. Everyone's going to want that issue.
Because... And then it's not going to happen ever in that book.
Yeah, probably.
What?
What?
That's...
No.
See, that was a spoiler to me. I'm not caught up.
Yeah, no, me too. I'm like, I haven't even read
that
issue
That kind of sucks that they do that, though.
I hate that.
They give away...
Because...
Like, I knew New 52 Superman was gonna die.
Yeah.
Just based on the solicits. Like, you knew that...
Yeah.
Superman proper, I guess you could say, was gonna come back.
Yeah.
And then they kill off New 52 Superman, which is like, well, thanks for spoiling the story.
Yeah, and it's like, with Spidey 2099, I really like that. I'm going back and rereading all the old stuff, too. But, like, you don't have to read all of the older 2099 stuff.
Like the original?
You could just read the newer stuff.
Right.
And it has its own following now.
That's a good thing, though. I mean, as much as they're renumbering stuff, and that's irritating because it's trying to appeal to everybody's, like, collecting instincts to buy a number one.
Yeah.
To make it sell out or make people think it's going to be worth something, which kind of ruins the industry. At the same time, what's cool about it is if you haven't been reading a book... It's a good time to jump onto it. It's like a new season of a show, right?
Yeah.
Or it's if you never read Hawkeye before, you could just read the Matt Fraction Hawkeye.
And that's it.
Yeah.
You don't need to have, like, you don't need all this backstory in order to get it.
Yeah.
And then if you just want to read the Jeff Lemire Hawkeye after that.
Which actually is really good.
Right.
And it follows up with a lot of stuff that, like, you're kind of wondering about. Like,
right.
Like, what was his life like in the circus? Which nobody explained that whatsoever.
Right.
In any of the books. And then they're just like, oh, yeah, he was actually in an abusive household. He moved from foster home to foster home. And then, like, it explains what kind of foster homes he was in. He was in an abusive foster home.
Yeah.
And even in the circus, he was doing some shady stuff.
Yeah, so, like, those are perfect examples of characters or books that they're treated based... Like, I like that Marvel is giving creators an extended, like, tell your story, and you got 12 issues, 50, whatever it is.
Yeah.
2 years, you're going to have your run with Silver Surfer, right?
Yeah.
And then you can read that guy's Silver Surfer and take it for what it is.
Yeah.
And if you like it, continue reading the character and be like, oh, that's good. I'm good with that version. Yeah.
So, like, that's what I was like with Spidey 2099. Because I was so intrigued with just the first two trades. They didn't even stop numbering it. They weren't like, oh, this is the new series, so it's going to be a new number, like a volume one.
Okay.
They're just like, it's volume three. It's just the start of post-Secret Wars stuff, right? Because of the Secret Wars stuff, they had to renumber a lot of the books, right? Mm-hmm. All the books. So now that they've renumbered Silk and Spider-Man and whatnot, all those books are going back to number one. Whereas Spidey 2099, if you look on the shelf, it's like 1, 2, 3. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, easy to follow.
Rather than 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, or whatever else.
So, Spider-Man 2099, big
good read.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm that costume, though.
Yeah, and the thing is, he...
I love that costume.
Like, a bit of spoilers. After Secret Wars, he doesn't want to be Spider-Man.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I'm going to give you.
Okay. I liked how they tied in... the Spider-Verse series.
Yeah.
And how when he shows up in
Superior Spider-Man.
Superior Spider-Man,
yeah.
And how they
and
connect,
like,
that stuff.
They're just
that
like,
really,
oh,
cool.
Yeah, so it was actually all Peter's fault and his fault. And they're just kind of looking at each other like,
not knowing. And it's a thread that's picked up later. I thought that was really cool. Speaking on Spider-Man, Renew Your Vows. You think it's a miniseries?
I don't
could
think
be.
So.
It's Conway.
It's yeah, and Stegman, though.
Yeah. And Stegman doesn't stay long in a book.
That's true. Well, he stays
on for, like, a good 6 or 7 issues.
He did a lot of Superior Spider-Man. Like,
yeah.
They took turns with him and...
Humberto Ramos?
I think he also...
And Cameron Colley.
Yeah.
He also did that run where... Or before... Before Wolverine died. Where he had no healing factor.
Oh, yeah. Where he was, like, running around with, like...
The armored Wolverine suit.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Because you did that too.
The Renew Your Vows Secret Wars miniseries was pretty interesting. It was kind of like Lois and Clark.
Yeah, it was really
with
cool
with the kid.
Yeah,
and then they just never mention it again. So I don't know how they're if it's gonna be just like a separate
Renew
universe.
Your Vows season 2.
Yeah,
it's like a sitcom.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. But where would they? What universe would they be in? It would be 616.
You know what? They've already said that there's no other universes, that this is the one universe. Ever since Jonathan Hickman did Secret Wars, there's like one universe, that's it. Just to not complicate things.
I'm gonna check that out. That intrigues me.
No way. No way I think to that.
Yeah. This
one
is
universe.
The thing is, like, it doesn't complicate things. Everybody's in the same universe. Doesn't mess around with, like, continuity or whatnot. Well, it kind of does.
It kind of limits you, though. If
yeah.
You want to do, like, an interesting story, but not have it as canon.
Yeah. Whereas, like, Moon Knight. Moon Knight's a non-canon story.
Is it
really?
Yeah, you didn't notice that?
No.
Dude, he's going around New York thinking, like, oh, there's sand everywhere. Blah.
But, like, that's Moon Knight. He's messed up.
he's schizophrenic, right?
Yeah. But it's legit.
It's legit as in, like, not canon.
It's legit as non-canon as, like, it happened either before or after Secret Wars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, you can place it anywhere if you think about it.
Yeah, because, like, it's just him, right? He doesn't interact with anybody else.
No.
Which I like. Same with Iron Fist and Power Man. They're just over here doing their thing. Or the Avengers are, like, over here doing their thing.
They also remind us of us.
Speaking of characters that are like that,
yeah,
Vision. You guys haven't read Vision, read Vision.
I know I should, but I haven't. Because of Tom King.
You don't like Tom King?
No. I know I should because of Tom King. Eh. But I haven't.
Yeah. Vision, all right. Vision is definitely, like, one of the hottest stuff to read right now. I wasn't so... Like, at first, I'm like,
I don't know. It's too campy for me.
It does, but it's really good.
Let's take a look at it.
Yeah. It looks like it's not something like, oh, it's gonna be silly, it's gonna be like...
It looked like, that's what I thought when I saw the cover. It's like just a family phasing through a door.
I can't say anything without spoiling it, but it's not what you would expect it to be. It's kind of like...
Adam's Family.
But with, yeah, but not...
I'm sold.
But not humorous. Like, some serious...
Oh, what?
Some serious stuff goes down.
Yo, I can see that already. That's kind of like, crazy.
Yeah, and each issue is like... Something dealing with a member of the family.
It's like, it kind of has like a BioShock feel. Like, just looking at you flipping through the pages, I'm just like, it's got that whole nice, like, oh.
Well,
like a family, it's like he really, really wants to have
a normal life.
Some type of a normal life or family and experience that.
Yeah.
But they are androids.
Yeah.
And there's that.
Wait, whatever that happened to Scarlet Witch and him? Like,
So the cool... So, do you remember... And this is a really cool pull from Tom King. This is a small spoiler, but this is how... When you know a guy loves comic books, and he takes things that may not mean anything to, a new reader, but people who have maybe read old stuff would appreciate. And within that book, he does a lot of callbacks to things that Vision has gone through. So, if you're, like, a hardcore Avenger fan,
you're
like, oh, wow, he's referencing all this stuff. So... You know how Vision's mind is based off of Wonder Man?
Yeah.
Right? That was the template for his android. So when Vision had, quote-unquote, died...
Yeah.
And do you remember in the Busiek Perez run of Avengers?
I don't think I read any of that.
It's good. That's some good Avengers stuff.
But I'll probably pick up the Omni.
Yeah. Eventually. So there's a point in there where he's dealing with the fact that Wanda is now with Wonder Man. That they were a couple for a little bit.
Okay.
And it's kind of awkward because he's that like, sucks. I'm based off of this guy, but you're in love with, you're in love with the real version.
So I'm with you, but I'm not.
Yeah. So he's having to accept the fact that he's coming back. He's come back and reprogrammed and gotten his memory back, and she's moved on.
That sucks.
So what she says to him
that
is,
that hurts.
Like, you know what? I'll give you like the sampling of my brain waves.
Yeah.
And you can base... an android wife off of me.
Oh, no.
And that's who his wife is in the book.
God damn.
Based off of Wanda.
Oh, that hurts.
So that, like, it's cool. And that's a deep cut for, like, people who have read that.
Oh, my God.
That old Avengers.
Yeah.
Right?
And her having the boys.
Yeah. So it's good.
That's just right.
Yeah, what happened to those kids?
When we went to
go
see Civil War.
In thing.
I don't know. That I don't know.
I just know they ended up, like, finding out, tracking her down to, like, Latveria. Where she...
That was Children's Crusade. That was so good.
Yeah.
And that's when...
Like, after that book, I haven't followed.
That's when Cassie Lang dies, too.
Yeah.
Have you ever read the old Young Avengers stuff? Not the one that, what's his name?
Kieran
Gillen did.
No, I haven't.
The Allen Heinberg stuff.
That was the one where, like, Hulkling and Wiccan, like, that was, like, their team book, their first team book.
Yeah, that was really good. And you find out what actually happens to Kate Bishop.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
No, I never read any of
that stuff. Yeah, there's, like, part, like, that was a dark book, too.
Yeah.
For a kid, like, for a kid's book, like, kids, quote
Especially,
unquote.
Like, Patriot's whole bit in that book.
Yeah, he was juicing and stuff. Like, that book was serious.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, who's the writer?
Allen Heinberg.
And who drew it?
Jim Chung drew it for a while. And
that's... You recommend that one over the Kieran Gillen? Because I've seen that
definitely.
Collection.
Kieran Gillen's stuff is still really good, but that's, like, its own thing. That's like, a totally different team.
Okay.
Other than Kate being good.
Okay.
It's Kate, Wiccan, and Hulkling that are the only three original members left.
Okay.
Everybody else is brand new.
Okay.
But, like, yeah, that Young Avengers run with Kieran Gillen... They, like, they're trying to, like, they say stuff like, oh, okay, well, maybe we should call the Avengers. And then it's like, no, they're busy doing Avengers stuff. And you, like, you pan out. They're, like, fighting in front of Avengers Mansion. Like, Cap is reading a magazine. Thor is like drinking a cup of coffee.
So it has more of a humorous side.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like the Young Avengers light.
Yeah. Whereas the first Young Avengers was like Young Avengers, like intensity. This is serious. You need like a cup of coffee and some popcorn. Okay. You know, sit down and you read this.
Okay. Okay, yeah. What is that?
It's what is Jared, this guy?
It's just slapstick.
That's what I want to know.
And you know what? I bet you out of every preview in this book, that's going to be the must read.
This is going to be the Harley Quinn of Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even Deadpool anymore. Like, this is going to be the Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Probably would be. Look, just he's got a mallet.
Just because everyone's looking at it like, why would they give this a solo series? They probably got a good pitch for it. So, before we wrap up the episode, out of all the stuff that we've looked through in this Marvel Now previews, relaunch, whatever it is, which book are you either sticking with or going to start picking up based on the creative team or...
I'm probably going to start picking up, in trade paperbacks though, I'll pick up Champions by Wade. I might do the hardcovers for Avengers. No Uncanny Avengers, no US Avengers, no Ultimate Squared. I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay.
Squash and Supreme, I'm still collecting. I mean, definitely. Thunderbolts, I want to get in trade paperbacks, too.
Thunderbolts?
Yeah.
Has Jim Zub done all of it so far?
Yeah, he's written all of it.
You know what I don't like about the Marvel trades? There's only like 5 issues in them, and they charge like $24 for it.
That's just Marvel's pricing. That's just.
But see, sometimes
always been a thing.
But sometimes their bigger collections are worth it.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
like so. This newer stuff that's just come out, I don't understand why they price it so high for a 5-issue collection. It doesn't make sense.
It might be because of the demand for it. But like even
everything comes out like. How many people are demanding Squadron Supreme? Like, why can't that be a $15 trade?
Yeah, that is true.
Right? How many more people would buy it if it was $15 as opposed to 20?
A lot. And I, like, that's my go-to, one of my go-to books for, like, for something that's new. Oh, I want to read a team book that's not Avengers. Well, Squadron Supreme is very close to Justice League, so.
That's true. It was basically an analog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Ronnie? What's the book that piqued your interest the most?
Occupy Avengers. Like, just that cover looks interesting. I want to find out more about it.
Oh, it's all street level guys, right?
That's what it looks like.
Oh, to my be hinting God. At. Also, it's Hawkeye.
Yeah. Oh, Oh, no, I'm not going to mention it.
No, don't tell me. Don't tell me.
It's a Civil War related thing.
Okay.
But, yeah, Civil War 2. Like,
oh, yeah, no. I want
to continue reading that because I like what they're doing with it.
I like where it's going to.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. The first issue is like kind of, but then.
I haven't read any of it.
When you keep reading it, it's like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah.
So it's worth collecting.
Yeah. Like, just wait.
People die, man.
People die. It's a lot of people die. In the first 2 issues,
but will
I think
it
like
matter?
3 or 4 people die. Probably.
They're not.
You
well,
think
they're,
so?
They're huge characters,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
I heard.
I just read a...
Yeah, number 3, and you see Buddy die. I'm not gonna say...
I know.
Yeah,
I
you know who it. Dies in the first you, issue, too,
No,
right?
I don't know who... Okay. I know issue 3, because it was kind of spoiled, but that's okay. Yeah. So it's worth collecting.
Yeah.
Do you think it should be read in one shot? Like
probably
by,
a one shot.
It's probably, like...
Everything is like that.
How'd you do with the first Civil War?
Did you just read the trade?
I read it in trade.
Okay, yeah, just do the same thing then. Definitely. Yeah. Because, like, with events like this, you definitely want to, like...
But the problem is, the trade is going to cost $75. Right? Just like Secret Wars trade.
Yeah, that hardcover is so expensive.
For what, 9 issues?
What? You know what? I want to get it, but the thing is that... Okay, apparently, according to Mike... This is based off of what he's told me, is that that hardcover is formatted as how Jonathan Hickman initially wanted Secret Wars to come out.
That's fine. That's all fine and
dandy.
Yeah,
that is great.
But still 9 issues.
You need to charge $75 for a hardcover.
I bought the Walt Simonson Orion Omnibus
yeah.
for $60, and you got like 30 issues in that thing.
My God.
Jesus Christ.
Right? And the Wonder Woman, George Perez.
Yeah.
That's $75. Like, bucks.
How many issues is that? Like
25 40? Issues.
Really?
Yeah. So for a 9-issue hardcover to be $75, like, what are they thinking? So I'm debating, like, do I buy each issue for $5 a pop? And are they going to be worth something because of all of these...
Probably not.
...deaths, right?
Probably not.
Death, like, this guy, death... Like, is it... Maybe, if it's a variant of something, right? Yeah. Like, you don't know. It's frustrating, because you want to read the story. But what way do you... Which way do you do it? Do you do it once you know how it ends, because it's going to be spoiled for you? Mm. By the time issue... How many issues are they doing for Secret Wars?
Or Civil War?
Civil War, sorry.
7.
So they're halfway.
Yeah, they're halfway done.
So, I don't know.
Moon Knight looks good.
Yeah, I'm still collecting Moon Knight. I'm still collecting Black Widow.
Also, Punisher looks pretty... Like, that
I want to collect Punisher, man. Cool. I hear it's really good.
The skull.
But the problem is that Declan Shavely is not... Shalvey is not doing the art. If he did the art, that'd be sick.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Dillon is like... I liked his stuff that he did with... What was it, Warren Ellis or Garth Ennis?
I don't remember. I never read. So long. I don't have any Punisher experience.
I think it was Garth Ennis.
No Punisher experience.
I think it was Garth Ennis.
I'm gonna say that this Avengers 1.1 is gonna be a hit. Because yeah. It looks like an old school Avengers team, even just the way they're drawn, the way the Iron Man mask is.
Yeah.
You got
yeah.
Scarlet Witch, old Hawkeye, old Quicksilver. It looks like it's almost like a year one.
You know, whose art that reminded me of. John Cassidy.
It does. The way Cap is there.
Yeah, at first I was like, is that John Cassidy?
No.
That's not him.
Barry Kitson. So, Mark Waid, Barry Kitson. I think that's going to be that and...
Bermeo cover.
I don't know how... I already told you how I feel about Bermeo.
But you love that Robin Ward, like...
Because it had Red Hood in it and everyone looked awesome.
How was Robin Ward?
I liked it. If you can get with the whole idea of a bunch of kids being inspired by Robin and going out...
Which is really not a good thing.
Going out and, like, no, fighting crime. No, it's not. Yeah, it's not. Ask Jason. But
that's gonna be the arc that Nightwing's going through, continuing from the Parliament of Owls.
Huh. Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's what he's... Mm-hmm. He's after them, they're after him, and they both don't really know it.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
If you can get with that concept, or like playing like just straight up, if you can dig Kick-Ass, the movie,
okay.
And like the whole like premise behind it about people becoming vigilantes and fighting crime.
That really shouldn't be.
Except the fact that...
They have no training.
Yeah, but later on they get help with like equipment and a bit of training later on, then, like, if you can get with that, then it's pretty good.
Okay.
Not to mention, like, the Court of Owls is in that book, too.
In the Robin War.
In the Robin War.
Okay.
So, like, it's a bunch of kids going up against assassins with healing factors.
That's crazy.
So.
That's a death sentence, yeah. Man.
Sounds like a Goonies gone badass.
Yeah, basically.
Right?
And people died in that book, too.
A lot of people died in that book.
I think if DC wanted to, I really think that the Nightwing title could be their best book.
It probably could.
If like, they gave it the right attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing is, there's so much attention to Batman and Superman that nobody cares about any of the other books.
I think there's so much too much attention on Batman that they try to make everything else
about Batman.
Batman, which kind of is driving me crazy.
Also, now that Wally's back, Titans looks like it's going to be great.
Yeah. And it's not the New 52 Wally,
I like it.
Right?
I like it. The guy that's Wally writing Wally. It is really good. Abnett.
Oh, okay.
He's writing it. And the thing is, in the first issue, spoilers to whoever's listening.
Are there any more of those left in the store? The Titans Rebirth? I
don't think so. There might be some at the front there. I could check around for you.
Okay.
I'll go and talk.
The thing is that when Wally would touch any of his former teammates,
oh yeah,
Yeah, they would just like, they'd be like, what? How do I know? Like, Wally? How do I know who your name? It's just like, I remember all these things about you. And the other people would try to fight him, and it's just like, oh my god, like, who are you? And Wally would be like, no, I know you. Like, stop, I'm your friend. And he would touch them. And
they get, I think the best one was when it happens to Nightwing.
Yeah, and when it happens to Nightwing, he's the first person. They're just like, oh my god, how did I forget about you? And it was like, oh no. Oh,
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Like, pulls at your heartstrings, like, all of them are back together. It's nice. But that, it's good seeing
that,
it.
That's the thing, I think that DC has the advantage of over Marvel in the sense that these characters have known each other. The relationships are so deep,
yeah, right? They've known each other for so long. They've been through so much together. Yeah,
to erase that and make it seem like Green Arrow and Black Canary don't know each other.
And the thing is, the three of them took up their mantles of their mentors.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Which is huge. Yeah, like, yeah. That is huge.
The legacy of it. Yeah. They're just starting to do that, I think, in Marvel now, where more people like Bucky became Cap,
yeah,
and Sam Wilson became, or there's another Thor, but that was something that always existed in DC.
Yeah, where it's just like, okay, yeah, Wally became Flash, but now he is the Flash.
Right, or he's Kyle Rayner became Green Lantern.
Yeah. Where, like, Dick Grayson became Batman. It's just like, there wasn't...
True.
Yeah, there's a JLA issue where they're just like, we like you better than Bruce.
Oh, they're really?
Yeah, they were like, they're like straight up like, you know how to lead a team. Bruce just does whatever he does.
Okay, and you're more of a people's person, so.
Yeah, that's what they say. They're just like, he can socially interact with other people better than Bruce. Bruce would just stand there and be like, okay, yes, no, and then do his own thing.
Close to the chest, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas Dick would communicate with everybody else.
I really hope the Nightwing book, like, does well.
That's what I'm hoping, too. That and Titans. Those are the two,
I know Titans is going to do good. I just know it.
The guy, like, people who grew up around that era, like, that era, and, like, whoever liked Teen Titans, the show, whoever liked the animated series, Justice League, all that stuff, they'll love this book. They'll love this book. They'll love Nightwing. Okay. Like,
Wally's a given.
Yeah, Wally's a given. Like, yo, give him his own book.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But they still got the other kid, the other Wally.
I don't care about the other Wally. So, I'm sorry. I wonder
what they're going to do with that.
Yeah, everyone knows who, like, People
know who he is, but it's just like, you know what? It's been so long since we've actually seen Wally.
It's true.
We need him back. Him back in his actual outfit. Like, when I saw that in DC Rebirth, I was like, that was so cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That was one of the coolest things that happened in that entire book. And it was just like, why, like, at first, when he was monologuing, right? And I was like, why is it red and yellow? Like, who is, like, why is Barry talking about himself? And he turned the page, like, no! It's Wally West! I lost it. I was in my apartment. I was alone. I was home alone. And I just, like, I flipped my issue. I was like, yes! He's back! And my next door neighbor, like, was losing it. She's like, hey, you need to keep it down. Like, you don't understand. Wally West is back! Oh, this is like, I'm so stoked for him. Like, yeah, he has his own suit, but, like, I would like to see him in his old suit, just kind of running around.
So, needless to say, you were really happy with the one shot.
And even when I read the Titans one shot, that, like, made me even more excited. It was just like, oh, he literally was the one who brought the team back together. Because they're just kind of like, oh, we don't know who, like, we are. Like, we don't know each other. And he zapped each one of them.
You know, and I was never really a fan of, like, Cyborg suddenly, like a JLA.
That's what I said, too.
Like a Justice League veteran. Not to say I don't like him, but it's almost like you're forcing
diversity,
his popularity on us.
Just like, what's wrong with Martian Manhunter?
Yeah, what is wrong with Martian Manhunter?
Is bomb.
Yeah. I mean,
what's wrong with Green Arrow being in, like, the Justice League?
If you didn't even bring back Superman, I mean, you guys would have been fine with him, Manhunter. Like, Martian.
If you can.
Super. He's the Vision of DC.
Red Tornado would probably be his Vision.
Yes. Yeah. But power-wise, he's the Vision.
if you want to read a good Martian Manhunter, John Ostrander.
Yeah, that's right. You were telling me that.
Find it. If you have to buy it on Amazon, order it for the store, read it. It's good.
Yeah.
Really good series.
Yeah, I was gonna get that.
But
yeah, no, a lot of the DC stuff's been really good.
And that's good. It's good when
I love all comics, but I like when both companies are putting out good stuff. Like, I hate when one is completely killing the other. Like, Marvel movies to DC movies.
I remember when Marvel was doing that to DC. DC was only, like, selling just Batman and just Justice League.
You mean, like, 2 years ago?
not that. Not then. But, like, just before New 52.
Yeah.
When their sales were, like, bad. It was just Batman and Justice League. What did Marvel have? They had Punisher. They had Iron Man.
It's what the writers do, right?
Devil, yeah.
But when both companies are putting out good product and letting the writers flush out stories,
we win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone.
And that's the thing. That's essentially what they need to look at it as. They can't compete anymore. This is what
makes them different, and this is why it works.
Yeah.
And this is what's going to keep people getting more books.
And not just that, man. Like, especially with, you know, the movies and whatnot, and just people getting to, like, starting to read a lot more than usual. Mm-hmm. It's because we have so much good content coming out. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of good content from, you know, like, however many years ago. We have a lot more good content now that you could just jump onto.
Yeah, you need to get, and I think there's got to be a balance. Like, I'm one of those old school heads that feel I don't like, not that it doesn't have its place, but I think a comic book should be able to be accessible to a person my age, but also to a kid that's 12, 13 years old
to
get on it. When they try to do something, unless it's marked specifically for adults, I don't like when they make the comic book medium become something that's so, like, overly violent. Or overly sexualized, where you can't give it to a kid. Because you want to get a kid in the door so that he's there for the next 25, 30 years enjoying the hobby like we got to.
Yeah. But Whereas, the problem is, with Nightwing, they're doing that a lot now.
What's that?
They're over-sexualizing him. That's a problem. He's the...
I mean, his name's Dick.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it kind of sells itself that way.
But here's the thing. He's always known as, like, one of the coolest characters that Batman is related to.
Yeah.
And everybody loves.
He gets along with everyone.
Yeah, he gets along with everyone. And then you get stuff like this, like, covers, like, look at that cover of Nightwing. He's got an ass shot in that.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna happen.
Like, it's...
It's gonna happen, right?
Yeah.
To appeal to, I guess, diversity, I don't know, but... As long as they're still putting stuff out that will get kids in the door again and make it still safe for them to read.
Yeah.
Because sometimes even stuff I pick up off the shelf, I'm like, I wasn't ready for this. And I don't want to find this type of stuff in a comic book. Yeah. Some people like it. Some people only want to read, like, image stuff where anything goes.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, your taste. But when if they're putting out good things, like, it's this last Wednesday, I was here and I saw kids coming in.
Yeah.
With their mom bringing them in and they're picking up all these Rebirth stuff.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
That's what you want to see.
I'm glad that, like, kids are coming in and reading. Like, that's exactly. What gets them going. Like, say if they can't read novels. Say if they don't like reading novels. There's too many words. Which was my case. Like, I hated reading novels as a kid, but now I read novels.
But get them started
on something.
But comic books, what I say to some of my friends with kids who are trying to get them to read, is that it exercises both sides of the brain, right? Because you got to read, and okay, you're not imagining things, but you also got to control the pace of how you're accepting the information, the imagery, how it's being shown to you, how fast you want to see the action sequence.
Yeah.
Are you paying attention
to the details
of the art? And it can inspire you to either write
But
to become artistic. Like, both sides of your brain are functioning. So as much as people are like, oh, that's the gutter of literature, it's not anymore.
No, it's very...
At the same time, I mean, like, hieroglyphs back in the day.
Exactly.
Were the first, like,
comic
book, basically.
Yeah, that you're right. That's true. So, I mean, it's a legitimate medium, but if they're putting out worthwhile stuff and aren't forcing collectability, which sometimes is what frustrates me with this kind of, like, a constant relaunch, but if it gets people in the door... That's
by all means, yeah. And, yeah, they really shouldn't be competing at this point because they're both making money.
Well, they need to compete with each other as far as, like, keeping... It's like...
They need to keep, like, the comic industry alive.
Right. Because the worst thing that could happen is for one to completely fail.
Yeah.
Because then the other company won't have that... That desire, yeah. That competitive nature to be, you know, we got to be better than these guys.
Yeah.
So if they're both having... And it seems like now is...
Now is a great time.
Right now is really good.
Yeah. It's like Daryl was saying before, like, it's just like early New 52, except the numbers are better.
That's good.
Numbers are a lot better.
And hopefully they maintain.
Yeah.
And I think they've really focused. You don't see any titles coming out.
Yeah.
That are like, why is there a vibe?
Why is there a vibe? Like, why is there a vibe book?
Right.
Whereas Iron Fist makes sense. Okay, this is an entirely new sequel to follow up on Kyrie Andrews' Immortal Iron... not Immortal. The Living Weapon Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, the kid's an Iron Fist. He's an Iron Fist, but he's also going to be, like, the Thunderer. He's going to be her mentor.
Right, right.
That makes sense. Okay, thank you for giving us this number one. This is what I wanted to see. This is what Ronnie wanted to see. He wanted to know what was going to happen after that.
Yeah.
It just ended. It was just like, what? What's going to happen with the kid? What do you mean? Is there like, what?
Yeah. It's going to be good. It's a good time to be a comic fan.
It really is.
Meanwhile, you've got like Power Man and Iron Fist, and it's like, okay, so Luke Cage is a dad, and then it's like, well, Iron Fist is training his chick, and what are the kids going to interact like? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see that too.
Right?
And apparently, according to David Walker... They would say, like, oh, you won't see... You know how you only see the joking side of Danny Rand? You're going to see a lot
of... In Power Man in there.
Yeah. You'll see... Apparently, you're going to see a lot more of serious Iron Fist down the road.
Cool.
Which I'm, like... I'm fine with. Like, we need that.
It does work.
We need the balance.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, going back as far as Ed Brubaker's Iron Fist... there's a lot of serious stuff in that.
Yeah. That was the Ed Brubaker Matt Fraction.
Yeah, that was a serious book, man.
But they didn't continue.
Which is unfortunate,
but like... It ended with, like, a big cliffhanger, I felt.
Yeah,
it was. And then the next volume was, like...
It was some random guy just kind of doing his own thing. And they just forget about the mystical cities. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
They're in hell.
Ah.
He's, like, fighting in a tournament in hell. Was he Scorpion?
Badass. Fighting a tournament's always, like, awesome, but, like, I mean, in hell, like, come on now.
That's a little...
You just raise the stakes.
So, guys, to wrap it up...
Yeah.
If you are interested in starting fresh with this Marvel Now or Rebirth, come down to Cyber City Comics. Jazz, give them the address, because I never remember it.
It is 1025A Steeles Avenue West. We are just above Kiva's and the Chinese restaurant, which are both great places, by the way, to get your food. Or the Italian place downstairs, too.
Is it good, the Italian place?
Yeah. That's where I got my food from.
Okay. And if they ask for Jazz, do they get a discount?
Just working on that. I'm working on that. I'm going to, like, work the waitresses a little bit there, too. But no, yeah, go ahead. Go down there and be like, yeah, the comp guys sent us.
No, I'm saying if they come here and ask for you.
Oh, yeah.
They have to get the membership.
Maybe, yeah.
No special discount for knowing Jazz.
Yeah. Okay. It could be.
All right, thank you guys so much again for opening up the Cyber City for the Cave of Solitude. Been fun. I like going through the previews with you guys and getting some insight on stuff I'm not reading. We should do it again soon. And next time we will do a book club. What are you nudging him for?
He wants me to promote. We're actually kind of doing, me and Ronnie are running this martial arts self-defense kind of thing. And it's just... pretty much like, hey, we're training in parks, we're training in like just anywhere.
You have a website?
Across the street.
Pardon?
You have a website?
Instagram. We post videos, stuff that we train with.
What's your Instagram?
What is our Instagram? Oh, the Bunker 5712.
Alright. Bunker 5712.
Yeah, we're like, by all means, say if you want to learn how to defend yourself against a knife, a stick, whatever.
If you want to be Nightwing or Iron Fist.
Or if you just want to learn how to defend yourself or even have some sort of cardio that's not as boring as running.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we'll teach you some things that will be fun.
And that's the real reason why they're also co-hosts now on the show, because they threatened me.
We did not threaten them.
I'm just kidding. Thanks, everybody, for tuning into the Cave of Solitude. You can email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com or visit our website at caveofsolitude.com and download us and leave a review on iTunes. Anytime you leave a review, it helps get the word out, gets more people to listen to the show, which is always a good thing. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will see you soon, or talk to you soon.